Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are death, violence, and explicit sexual content.
And I have an Apple review, and this one comes from Orcas Are the Best.
They are.
So it says, love the show, but I was cackling along with the April 30th episode when it then cut to Trump's voice and an AI PAC ad. I'm hoping someone failed to vet the ad buys this one time. Sell me Depends, sell me toilet plungers, sell me anal bleaching kits, but to have an AI PAC ad as Gaza is raised, featuring the voice of someone who gleefully advocates banning books and detonating women's and trans people's bodily autonomy stunned me. Please say it isn't so. I'd hate to have to find my octopus, dragon, maiden love triangle laughs elsewhere.
First of all, thank you for still making it a 5-star review.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, and it isn't so. We only choose our ad placements. We don't actually pick the ads that go in it. We had no idea that we even had political ads. As soon as we found out, as soon as we read this review, we completely switched our podcasting host after finding out that there's no way for us to filter that kind of stuff out. That's not what we support. That's not what we're about.
Yeah.
So we are no longer using that podcast host. Currently, we don't have any ads until we get a little bit more established with our new host. So if you want to help us financially, because we did lose our ad revenue because of this, which totally worth it, go check out our Patreon. That would be super helpful.
Yeah.
We are so sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
That is not how any of us feel. So
it was just really shocking to read, because I mean, when I listen, I hear the ads, and that's never come up for me, but it's just crazy that, like, the audacity.
Also, there shouldn't be political ads. No, thank you.
Yeah, this is a smut podcast. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Go away.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about The Finish Line by Kate Stewart. So we're finishing up the Ravenhood series.
Woo woo.
And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
Still gave her a 4. Reread was still a 4.
I feel like I just couldn't rate it. Just because, in my opinion, I just felt like it was a little bit of an unnecessary book. The writing wasn't, it's not like it was a bad book. I just feel like I can't rate it because I was just kind of over it.
Yeah. I gave it a 3. This book was unnecessary. I didn't like the first two books. It's not for me. It was a well-written book. Kate Stewart did a good job. I just didn't care to read this. I only read it for the podcast. I would have DNF'd it if I could have.
Oh. Same. Cecilia is so annoying in this book.
Yes, she is. Even more annoying than the last one.
I was going to say, she's been pretty annoying this whole time.
So the story picks up immediately at the end of the last book. So Cecilia just took Tobias back to her house after 8 months of no contact, and he vowed to her that he was ready to commit to her.
Yeah, this bitch needs to stand up.
And once he got to her house, she gave him a tour, he showered, and it's literally a whole day later, and he was sleeping for like 24 hours. He like was like, okay, I love you, I missed you so much. He didn't give her one explanation, nothing. Like, I would have at least poured water over him and been like, we're talking about this now.
Yeah. Yes. She lets these men do literally anything. And she's like, okay.
Okay, I guess. But her pookie was really tired, so she just let him sleep.
Okay, wake him up after 8 hours. That's really all you need.
So him and Cecilia, once he's up and about, they're out in the garden and it's like freezing weather and they're just like beefing it out. They're having a full-blown argument. He took her back inside the house, but she has no intentions of hearing him speak. Their argument was completely pointless because she was like, I don't want to hear you out. I actually don't even want to see you exist. Get out of my line of sight. Goodbye. But she did like sniff him. She was like, missed you, but like, go away. He tells her that this whole 8 months he's been away, he's been squaring up business. When he arrived yesterday, he made sure that no one was coming for her. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, that's right. I killed for you and I'll kill again.
Okay, Tobias.
Do you remember the man Jerry, who's like Roman, who was her dad's OG business rival, who then she pissed off in the last book? And she's like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to make your life living hell and I am going to get you arrested. So Tobias killed him because he found out that he was for sure the one that sent the hit on her the day that Dom died. He unloaded all of this on her and he was like, do I scare you? And she's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, that should scare you a little bit.
She's like, no.
Jenna, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like twirling her hair. She asked how he even found her, and he told her that Sean put a tracking device on the Camaro when he gave her the car, so Sean always knew where she was the entire time. But he made Tobias wait 7 weeks before telling him her location. He, like, really made him sweat it out. They get back inside, and they make it to the bedroom.
I need you, I whisper before again pulling half her breasts into my mouth, drawing a soft cry from her. Her chest glistens when I release her, her body becoming lax as I hold her firmly in place. I need you, Cecilia. I need to make you come. I need to feel you stretch around my cock. I need to hear my name coming from your lips, but I need you more.
God.
Okay.
It describes her as having, like, pretty large breasts. So either his mouth is, like, giant or, I don't know.
Maybe they're very elastic.
Stretchy. Yeah.
But he fights those urges, and all he does is give the kitty a little lick and then gives her a kiss on the lips, and that's it.
All right.
It's a bit later, and she tries telling him to kick rocks and that she won't forgive him, and he's like, please give me 5 days. So it's a flashback, and he's 11 years old, and Dom is really sick with the chicken pox, and they're living with Delphine at this point, and she's having parties way into the early mornings at the house, and when Dom gets sick, she was just about to, like, literally let him stay home all alone by himself as a 7-year-old with, like, a raging fever.
Crazy.
Delphine was a piece of shit when they were kids.
Tobias walked up to her, and she's like, I don't want to be a mom, and it's basically just a whole flashback of him really taking, like, that father role, even when he was a poor little child himself, and he was like, you don't have to. I'll feed him, I'll bathe him, I'll take him to school. You don't even fucking look at him at this point. I will be everything that he needs. You can just fuck off.
Sad.
Tobias is literally running to the store to get Tylenol when this pregnant woman, who looks like she just had a nice proper menti bee, pulls over. And at first he's like, what the fuck, lady, go away. And she kind of pleaded with him to, like, get in the car, and something in his gut told him that she was harmless, so he gets in. She takes him to the store and she literally buys everything, like itching cream, and she gets him Tylenol, and she puts all of it on cash and gave him the change. The whole time she was literally having, like, multiple mental breakdowns every time she was asking about their childhood. She's like, are you guys safe? And he's like, And she was like about to cry, and then she's like, are you happy? And he's like, And then she's like, oh my god, I hate that you're telling me this. She drives him back home. Dom is safely still asleep in his bedroom, and Sean enters through the window with chicken pox as well. We are back in the present tense. Tobias took Cecilia's car when she's at work, and her work bestie Marissa can tell something is up and that she's clearly distracted. She tells her whatever it is has to wait, because guess who just walked in? Some super hot smoking babe who she refers to as Mr. Handsome. She doesn't want to entertain it, though, because she can't help but to feel raging anxiety that Tobias isn't coming back for her and is just, like, stealing her Camaro, basically. Because obviously he's put her mentally through the ringer and back, so she doesn't even know which way is up and down when he's around.
Yeah, he literally ghosted her for months.
For 7 years.
Yeah, years! This is insane to me that she's still like, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah, after she gets kind of a spine, he's like, wait, come back.
Stop.
Why are you being like that now?
What? Ugh. Marissa sees the sexiest man she's ever seen in her whole entire life. And guess who it is?
Tobias.
Tobias. So he walks in the restaurant. He notices Mr. Handsome right away, and his name is Greg. And Greg is eyeing up his girl, so he decides to keep his friends close and his enemies closer and sits down right next to him.
Power move.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, she's smoking hot, isn't she? And Greg's like, fuck it. I'm gonna ask her out. I'm gonna do it, dude. Wish me luck. She went to go take both of their orders, and Greg was like, Cecilia, will you please do me the honor of going out with me? And Tobias takes out his laptop all dramatically and starts like scrolling through his emails, and he literally tells their whole life story of how he met her when she was 11. And he's like, she was mine ever since she was 11. Not even making eye contact with either one of them, but just scrolling on his laptop.
What the fuck?
That would give me the ick so bad.
He literally. I'd say, can both of you leave?
Get out of my fucking restaurant.
Yeah. He said she was mine to protect then, and she's mine to protect now. So fuck off, Greg. And Greg's like, what the fuck? Okay, I'm gonna go. He leaves. Obviously, Cecilia is like pissed off because that was a customer. Marissa, who's her work bestie, walks by, and he asks her to check on Cecilia. And he's like, can you also make sure she's not poisoning my food? And she's like, why? And he's like, I'm an ex-boyfriend. And she's like, oh, you. Yeah, we'll take real good care of you. Don't you worry.
Oh my God.
So they're driving back to Cecilia's house, and she knows that he's different and a changed man, but something just seems off. They get in the house, and the tension is so high. He drops their bags on the counter and then crashes into her with a searing kiss.
Heart thrumming, panties dampening, I clutch the material of his hoodie to bring him closer. He indulges me, lifting my leg and grinding into me as we both get lost, making a new memory, a searing kiss I won't soon forget. A pained grunt leaves him when he pulls away and gazes down at me. In it, I see need, want, lust, hope.
Girl, just move on.
She really likes roller coasters.
Yeah, but like so many men want her and she's like, no, I need this one.
I need this one that treats me like shit.
Well, her other one's dead and the other one is married, so.
Well, she had that fiance that was nice.
Fuck that guy.
Oh, he's normal? Fuck him.
Yeah.
It's another flashback, and Tobias is 16. So he's leaving Dom, who's now 11, and Tobias is going to France to basically get the brotherhood back in motion. Him and Delphine, although they don't see eye to eye, she at least earns some respect from him by telling him her side of the story and everything that they have gone through. But Dom is still in the dark and feels Tobias is running to Paris to get away from him. Tobias tells Delphine it's finally time for her to tell him the story and for him to tell Dom everything. So this is basically at the age of 16 is when the brotherhood is like first starting to get back in motion, where Tobias makes the first steps. Tobias is 18 now, and he's in Paris at a hostel for school, and he has a bestie whose name is Preston, who's also an orphan. He sees Tobias for who he is, and he doesn't pity or judge him, but he's like a really rich orphan because he inherited a lot of money.
Good for him.
The best kind of orphan you could be.
Tobias is like, you and I are not the same.
If you're gonna be an orphan, be a rich one.
That's true.
They're at a strip club, and a man who radiates power catches his attention immediately. Before they got in the building, Preston, his bestie, gave him some money to have fun tonight, and he catches the eye of a dancer and asks who that man is, and she basically says no one knows and no one asks. And then he puts the entire wad of cash down. He's like, let me ask again, who is that man? She basically doesn't really give him an answer, but she does say that this man is only here for one woman, and she's always escorted everywhere and no one talks to her. As they leave the strip club, they're mugged. He had the knife up to Preston's throat, and then Tobias just beats this man to a pulp and then ends up mugging the mugger. He feels like high off of the rush of beating up this mugger and stealing his money.
Oh, no. He pulled the Ono reverse. He mugged the mugger.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He said, matter of fact, give me your wallet.
Preston is stoked that he has a friend like Tobias in his corner. And we are back in the present day, and Tobias gets a text from Tyler saying he's got an incoming call. He answers the phone, hello, Mr. President, and it's none other than Preston.
He's the president now.
Of the United States?
Yeah. Because remember when Cecilia ran out of the restaurant at the end of the last book, she was freaking out because Tyler was part of the Secret Service now.
Yeah.
And it's because Preston's the president.
So Mr. President, who's Preston, is actually a founding father of the Brotherhood, along with Tobias. This is like where the whole mugging gang thing started. They were like,
eat the rich.
Yeah.
He's checking in on his longtime bestie, and Tobias tells him he's in Virginia, and one day he will meet Cecilia. The chapter ends with Tobias checking in on a little birdie and making Garrett have more men on surveillance, needing 24 hours on the situation. So keep in mind, when he came to Cecilia, he told her that all the Ravenhood stuff, that he's retired. He's done with it. But now he's making sneaky little calls saying like, hey, put extra people on the surveillance. I need more eyes on it. And he's not supposed to be doing that.
I mean, yeah. When you give a dog a bone.
I know. Like, what's the worst Cecilia is going to do? Not talk to you for a day?
Yeah. And then she'll be like, wee, Tobias.
Things between Cecilia and Tobias are still rocky, to say the least, but he's working for it, literally. He's helped her at the restaurant during a crazy rush and even gave the tips he made to Marissa. It's later and they're both at home now, and he again tells her that he's here, he's not going anywhere, and he will give her as much time and space that she needs, but he can't stand by and let her pretend that he's not here. Like, she's literally just pretending that he's just a ghost. She, like, wants literally nothing to do with him.
Fair enough.
But, like, why are you letting him be at your house then?
Yeah, kick him out, actually. Kick him out.
But for the first time ever, Cecilia had a thought of what if she's incapable of forgiving him, and that scared her.
Why?
Because she's always bent over backwards and with her pussy slabbed on the ground for this man.
It's true.
This is another flashback. Tobias, age 20. Dom is 15, and he's just now getting his nose in the family business, but things are getting worse and worse at home while Tobias is away. As Tobias hangs up the call with Dom he was just on, Tobias literally gets kidnapped and almost murdered. One of the men behind it was the very powerful man that he saw in the strip club a while back, and we don't really know his name yet, but this man did know both of his parents, and that's pretty much what saved him from getting murdered that day, was that that man basically was like, this was for your mom that I let you live. But guess what this silly goofy man did?
What?
As soon as he literally just got away by not getting murdered, like, there was a gun at his temple and everything. They, like, drop him off in the middle of Paris, whatever, he walks home. He calls Dom and he's like, hey, I need you to find out as much information on this man as you possibly can. And then Dom's like, all right, cool, bet. And he gives the information. And then Tobias, like a stupid dumb idiot, he goes back to the compound where he was literally just held captive and almost murdered. And he's like, hey, it's me.
Why would he do that?
Because, so he's like trying to get leverage. So Dom was able to find out that guy's identity. He's hoping that that will give him leverage and that they can work something out together.
Okay.
We're back in present tense, and Cecilia's upset because Tobias is making her meet up with some people who were going to be looking after them in Virginia. She's like, you just told me this entire time we were away from each other that you were killing everyone for me. So why do we have to have people look out for me? And he's like, no, baby, it's not you. It's me.
He says they're to protect me, not you.
As he's showering, she sees two new bullet wounds that mean he was, like, gravely wounded at some point, and she gets really emotional about it because she's like, oh my god, he could have died while we were fighting. But she's so stubborn, she just didn't bring it up. But she was, like, about to have a full-blown mental breakdown over it, but she still refuses to talk to him. They're on their way to the meetup, and Tobias stops the car, not giving Cecilia an out to run away. They need to have a serious conversation before this meeting, and up until this point, they haven't had any because she's keeping him at arm's length. He tells her that when she was gone right after Dom died, before he was even in the ground, Miami retaliated again. They hit them hard, killing at least one raven in every single chapter of the Brotherhood. And he confirmed her suspicion of him being gravely wounded, that he was literally gunned down in broad daylight by the Miami gang, and it just furthered his decision to keep her away. He gives her this long-assed, honest speech about him always being in danger and that there's a good chance she may die for loving him. And all he can really do is promise to try to keep her safe, but he can't push her away. And she's literally his only reason for breathing, but she can order him away and he'll respect it and be done with it all. And she told him that she already made her decision up a long time ago and just told him to just put the car back and drive.
He literally just told you you could die if you stay with him. I'd be like, yeah, I'm out. Peace out.
Yeah, and she's like super rich. Just go literally anywhere else.
Yeah, whatever.
I would literally bring up every single day of my life. I'm like, did you forget when you branded me and then dumped me the next day?
Yeah.
But she's like, that's my man.
We found out that the guy who kidnapped him and almost killed him, and then he went back and was like, hey, it's me. His name's Antoine. It's French. Antoine. So Antoine gives Tobias details on his birth father. And before his illness took over, he was basically a head honcho executioner, and he worked with Antoine. In this flashback, Tobias finds his paternal grandfather, and he's the one who teaches him how to play chess and essentially always be two steps ahead. Cecilia is still holding on to her grudge, but we finally find out the reasoning behind it. She wants to make sure that he understands that she has suffered so much at his hands and that she will never, ever stand for it again. As she's holding on to this notion, she can't help but to reminisce.
Images of our past taunt me as I gaze on. A flash of me on my knees in nothing but panties as he fisted my hair and pushed his thick cock in my mouth, ordering me to suck. And I did. My reward. The stoking fire and satisfaction from the control I gave up evident in his eyes, in the grunts and murmurs from his mouth before he fucked me raw.
They get another fight. over how Tobias, who's retired from the Brotherhood, how this version of him isn't him. Basically, he's just like at her house eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream and like running for fun. But she's like, this isn't you. You're supposed to be dealing with bad guys and running the Brotherhood. And I know that you're just settling for me. And he's like, yeah, girl. And you're supposed to be like a sexy, hot millionaire who's a head honcho in charge of people. And you're just comfortably living in Virginia, pretending like you didn't just have a crazy past. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
But Cecilia wasn't having any of it. She said, you don't get to have a say on how I choose to live my life the second you chose to break my heart again.
Period.
We're in a flashback of Tobias at the age of 21, and he's hanging out with Dom and Sean in their special spot in the field when they see that Roman is building his mansion at their sacred place, and he's pissed. So remember how their clubhouse is like basically in Roman's backyard. So they basically watched his mansion being built. Dom starts rattling off some half-brained plan to murder Roman, and Tobias is like, no, dude, we're doing the long con, and after he's gone, we'll go after all of the men like him. And that's when they decide to build their army. So, another step forward in the Brotherhood. We're back in the present day, and Tobias is watching Cecilia, thinking about how he hasn't had her in months, and he wants her more than anything right now, but he's proud of her for standing her ground with him. She's out in the garden, and he's watching from the window, and he starts to jerk off thinking about how they used to fuck. Like, he's just in the room, watching out the window, as she's gardening or something, and he's just jerking off. He's about to come, but Cecilia and her dog, Bo, barge into the room, and Bo immediately leaves, but Cecilia is stunned. So, she has a dog. I think it's a French bulldog or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Cute.
Tobias fucking hates this dog.
Why?
He's jealous because Cecilia likes him so much. And he's like, oh, I'm in competition with a dog.
It's a dog.
He grabs onto her hand and puts it on his dick, telling her he's thinking about her.
Yeah.
He starts dirty talking her about the first time they ever had sex and asks if she's ever come thinking about it. And she says yes. He strips her clothes off and she asks to take things slow, but he's like, no. And he jerks off some more and comes on her bare chest. And then he starts to finger blast her.
Wow. Leisurely, I rim her opening with the pad of my finger before I slowly push it in. Knuckle deep. The sight of it, along with her neatly trimmed landing strip, threatens to ruin what restraint I have. My dick hardens, envious at the sight as she clenches wet and hot. Her eyes close when I twist it to beckon her G. To beckon her G? Ew.
He licks her and she moans his name, which he hasn't heard in so long. He's shocked and asks who loves her, but she won't answer him. So he gets up and scoops up his cum and shoves it into her vagina, telling her he wants to rid her of every touch that isn't his.
All right.
He tells her he loves her and she opens her legs and he continues chowing down until she comes on his face. He doesn't stop though and he makes her have another one.
Wow.
She finally cracks a little bit and tells him she still loves him, but if he ever hurts her again, she will put a bullet in him herself. But Tobias is just stoked that he's making progress with her. We learn that when Tobias was 24, he got rich by betting on fixed horse races, which earned him dangerous enemies.
That's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, half the shit he does is illegal.
Crime.
While he's out grocery shopping, Sean calls him and asks how things are going with Cecilia, and he's like, it's not going fucking well. He says he's running out of patience with her, and Sean is like, just give her time. Yeah, he was fucking awful to her for 7 years, and he's like, she won't take me back immediately.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I also don't think Sean needs to be involved whatsoever. Like, bro, you're fucking married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go away.
If I was his wife, I would be like, hey, listen, we gotta talk about this.
If I ever hear that skank's name come out of your mouth again, divorce. He decides to pick her up 4 dozen roses on the way out of the store to try and get some points with her. But in the parking lot, he's on the phone with Cecilia asking her for a date night when he spots a hitman who's clearly trying to take Tobias out. He can tell the guy's inexperienced and he's annoyed as fuck. Like, he's not even scared. He's just like, this guy's a fucking amateur. He hangs up with Cecilia and Tobias grabs the random guy, and he was sent by someone named Paolo, who's his old French boss. He realizes the guy probably knows about Cecilia and goes through the guy's phone and sees that he's correct. So the guy has been tailing him, taking pictures, sending his boss updates on Tobias and Cecilia. So now Tobias is pissed. He gives the man to his raven cronies for interrogation, and now he's upset that he'll never be able to give Cecilia a normal life. But for now, he has to get home and set up for date night with her. Meanwhile, she's feeling super guilty for shutting Tobias down despite how vulnerable he's been with her, and she's losing the will to keep fighting him. When she gets home, she sees Tobias drunk in a pink apron covered in flour.
Oh, is he cooking?
He is. He's trying to do date night, but it's not going well. Dinner is burnt, and he's horribly embarrassed, and he tells her he's going crazy here, and he just wants to fuck her so bad. She tries to tell him he just needs to sleep it off, and he's like, no, I don't, and tries to have it out with her. He tells her he wants to live here with her and make a life with her. He can't let her go, and he can't get past the betrayal to Dom. She could have had a future with Dom and or Sean, but he butted his way into her life because of how much he wanted her, and he ruined everything. Like, he's just drunk and word vomiting every single feeling he has, and never done this with her before. It's wrong that he gets to have Cecilia while Dom rots in the ground, and Dom was the better man for her, but he asks if it's too late for them, and he's like legitimately snot running down his face, hysterically crying.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, sweetie.
Why don't you go lay down?
She tells him he's selfish and he tormented her for literal years and it's unforgivable. He tells her he'll do anything just to be with her again and he starts to pass out on the floor. She puts him to bed and looks around to see the date night he had tried to make for them. And there were even twinkle lights strung up in the garden and her heart is exploding with the thoughtfulness.
He does really love her though.
He does. And I think he actually had like a good dinner date going, but he just got too drunk and burnt the food and then had a mental breakdown about it. And she tells herself maybe it is possible for them to get everything back. He wakes up the next morning and sees a text from some ravens, and they tell him the French guy came alone. So the guy from the parking lot, no one else was with him. He knows he owes Cecilia an apology, and he finds her still asleep in her bed and runs a hand through her hair to wake her up. He hardly remembers anything he said to her last night. She tells him she could really see the vision for date night, and she really loved the twinkle lights. They start making out, and Tobias tells himself he doesn't care how hungover he is gonna take whatever she gives him. Then the doorbell rings and they both grab their guns to answer the door because that's just who they are now.
Oh.
But guess who's at the door?
Who?
Cecilia's mother.
What is she doing there?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
They were supposed to go on a camping trip to the Four Corners, but she had forgotten because of all the chaos with Tobias. So her mom was like, hey, excited to go camping. And Cece's got like a gun in her hand.
What are you doing here, mom?
Tobias runs to hide the guns real quick, and he can hear Cecilia and her mom arguing because this trip was planned, but Cecilia wants her to leave. Tobias steps out and is like, no, stay. And her mom looks at him and pales. She knows who he is. Because remember, her mom killed his parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We learn that they've met before when Cece's mom was pregnant with her. So the pregnant woman that was like, Dom has chicken pox and your life is sad. I fucking hate that. That was Cece's mom. She was pregnant with Cece.
Oh, she was probably like, I feel bad.
Let me buy you something. I killed your parents.
Yeah.
We learn that Cecilia grew up pretty poor. They were like trying to make ends meet. But Cecilia's mom was spending all of her extra money on Dom and Sean and dropping like shoes, toys, clothes, books off at their house. Every single extra penny she made, she spent on Dom and Tobias.
Yeah, trying to like make up for it without owning up to her own actions.
Tobias feels oddly at peace with her being here because of his love for Cecilia. Tobias and Cecilia's mom have a private conversation where she asks when and why he started things with her daughter, and Tobias assures her that he's always wanted Cecilia to be safe and that he loves her with all of his heart. She apologizes tearfully for what happened to his parents, but he tells her he forgave her a long time ago. It's not like she did it on purpose.
Yeah.
So she starts telling him how she'd send him and Dom gifts all throughout their childhood just to try and make up for it. And Cecilia walks up overhearing all of this and gives her mom a big hug. Then her mom asks where Dom is and they have to break the news to her that he's dead.
Sad.
She's probably like, oh my God, what have I done? They all go to bed when night falls and Cecilia and Tobias get in a huge fight about all of his secrets and how she wants him to just be honest with her. It escalates so much that Tobias winds up sleeping on the couch. In the middle of the night, she can't sleep, so she goes out to apologize to him. He apologizes as well for all of his secrets, and she asks him to tell her everything, and he says he will, eventually. That would piss me off to hear.
Yeah.
I'd say no right now. Right now.
They start smooching, and right when they're about to bang, Cecilia's mom walks in.
What a mood killer.
Boo. This bitch ruins everything.
Like, get the fuck out. You already killed his parents. Now you're gonna kill the mood? Tobias lifts, keeping me in his arms while letting out a string of French curses. I pull away just as perturbed, but can't help my laugh at his reaction. Guess they're early risers. I stand and yank the pillow and blanket from the couch and hand it to him as he stands. A full-sized tent pitched in his boxers. A deep scowl on his face as I nod toward his engorged cock. Do something with that, will you? Oh, I intend to, he threatens, his voice a mix of lust and fury.
Cecilia heads to work at the diner, and as she's moping around, her coworker is like, dude, just fuck this guy already and put yourself out of your misery. And she's like, fuck, you're right, and speeds home to go get her king.
Oh my god.
When she walks into the house, Tobias is cooking again, and the house is spotless.
Immediately pull your pants down.
Yeah. My pussy would be on display.
He cooked an entire feast, and there are two pumpkins to carve because it's Halloween night.
Pull your pants down.
Yeah. Whip your fucking dick out.
She's touched and tells him she loves him and they both deserve to be happy, and they start to smooch, but he tells her to go take a shower because they have things to do. When she goes to shower, she finds a note in her room that Tobias wrote about how his grandpa died and he was a good man and he really hopes there's an afterlife because he doesn't have any living relatives and confesses that he's never spoken to Dom since he died. He walks in on her reading it and she's touched that he spilled these secrets in the letter. I don't know that the letter was for her. He might be writing like a book or something, or it's a journal.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a journal. He starts writing in it and like lets her read pieces of it.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my god, you softy. He tells her he doesn't know if he's a good boyfriend, and she says, yes, he is.
I want to Halloween-y with you and Thanksgiving with you and Christmas with you, but I can't help my giggle. Halloween-y? Yes, with you. Halloween-y. That's what you're saying, right? Yes. The line creases in his forehead. That's what I said. Tobias, there is no Halloween-y. Yes, there is, he insists. My mother said it all the time. I snort. Tobias, it's just Halloween. He looks at me like I'm ignorant. It's the event, an occurrence, you know, what you do the day of. He releases my face, tossing his hand in his explanation. There's Christmas carols and caroling, Halloween and Halloween-y. He frowns as if it's starting to sound odd to him. Halloween-y? You're an adult man.
I would like to Halloween-y with you.
But that's very cute.
They make a truce and she goes to take a shower for the night he has planned. After she's done, they do some bobbing for apples, they carve some jack-o'-lanterns, they smoke some weed, and they watch a spooky movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Also, imagining Tobias bobbing for apples is very funny to me.
Yeah, I don't know why that's hilarious.
She thinks to herself that this is the best Halloween-y ever.
Aww.
Then she puts on a sexy nightie, and it's time to get freaky.
All right. I match his thirsty licks, reaching into his boxers and grip his thick cock in my hand, rubbing the pre-cum off the fat crown with my thumb. Fat. His groan vibrates in my mouth as I squeeze him from root to tip, hunger taking over. I break our kiss and drop to my knees, taking his boxers down as I go. Clawing his ass, I grip him firmly, flicking my eyes up to his before licking my lips and taking him to the back of my throat. Putain.
What? It's just fuck, I think.
Oh, okay. I was like, Putin.
Why are you bringing him up at a time like this?
Yeah. Of all things. Oh my god. Fuck. He fists my hair in an effort to control me as I go feral, taking him in deeper, choking on his girth as saliva dingles from my lips. Cecilia, he hisses. As I suck his veined length to the thick head before again diving, my eyes never straying from his. It's when I start to leisurely explore, licking along the side of his massive shaft that he snaps and jerks me from my knees. In a flash, I'm pinned to the bed by his kiss alone as he dips his thick fingers between my thighs, stretching them to ready me.
We get it. He has a big dick.
Yeah, a giant fat dick.
He edges her for a while until she's begging to come, and finally he lets her. Then he flips her and starts to fuck her.
Hovering, he parts my thighs with his palms, hitching my legs up high before running his thick head through my folds in a wicked taunt. please. My core aches with dire need as he teases me, massaging my clit with his crown until I'm writhing beneath him. Look at me, he commands. I lift my eyes to his molten depths as he drives into me with one earth-shattering thrust. My back bows as I gaze up at him, mouth parted, breath ripped from me just as his eyes close. Putain, mon dieu.
Wow, that sounded so French.
Thank ya. Fuck, my God. Choking from the invasion, my pussy pulses painfully, stretching around every inch of him just as his eyes flame open. My pussy, my body, my woman, my heart, my life. Okay.
He then starts to cry, telling her how sorry he is for losing her, and now Cecilia is fully back in with him. He comes, and she tells him that she loves him, so he's crying mid-fuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They take a bath together, and she tells him what a good man she thinks he is despite all of his flaws.
He glances down. Is it weird that people sit in bathtubs full of filth, thinking it makes them clean? I can see scum floating on the top of this water. No, you French prude, but baths are good for a woman who was just bent like a pretzel and jackhammered until she nearly passed out. And don't knock my housekeeping skills. I love a good bath.
I just included that because I'm like vehemently anti-bath. And I was like, go off, Tobias. He confesses that he went crazy when she left Triple Falls and even crashed his car. He begs her to never leave again, which is like rich coming from Tobias.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says she promises she won't. And then she climbs aboard for more sex. And that morning she wakes him up with a blowjob and begs him to fuck her and climbs aboard again.
God damn. Dominant need pulses through my veins, but it's control I hand over as she bucks on top of me with the perfect amount of friction, just enough so if I thrust up, I'm rewarded in the best way. Tobias, she licks her lips, placing her hands on my chest as she picks up her pace, long hair tickling my thighs when she throws her head back, the arch giving me the best imaginable view. Gripping her hips, I succumb to her tight, wet heat as we work together until I can't take another second. Flipping her, I see the satisfied spark in her eyes for getting the best of me as I hitch her thigh around my waist.
Yeehaw! Giddy up. The next day, he wakes up to Cecilia pelting him in bed with snowballs.
I would be so fucking mad.
Same. Yeah, I think she like opened the window, took the screen out, and then just started throwing snowballs at him.
The way I would kill someone. Commit murder.
He tells her it is so on, and they spend the morning having an intense snowball fight.
So they have a full-on snow day, and she makes him this dish that is called snow cream, and it's literally condensed milk on snow.
Oh.
And he thinks that it's disgusting until he actually has a bite, and he likes it. They drink wine and play chess in front of the fireplace, and it's all very cozy and domesticated. The news flashes with a story regarding a new terrorist organization, and she looks to Tobias, but he tells her Tyler and all the others have it handled. She decides to get his mind off the organization and distract him in the bedroom. The next day, Cece gets home from work. Tobias shows her Beau's new tricks. So he hates the dog, but it's like his new BFF.
Oh, yeah, that's how it goes.
All of his new tricks are in French, and she's very impressed, but she has one thing on her mind, reading his next journal entry.
Oh.
He lets her know that she won't like this one as much, but she tells him that it's okay, and she heads to the room. The journal entry pretty much says that he's keeping a secret and isn't ready to tell her, even though he wants to. And it's not new information, but it still pisses her the fuck off.
The way I would crash out.
Yeah.
So she goes to find him to start a fight over it, and he is outside FaceTiming a woman.
Excuse me?
She's even more mad now, and he tells her that it's just Exodus business. She asks if the other woman is a secret, and he says yes, but not that way, and she'll learn eventually.
I'd hit him right in the throat.
She tells him to fuck off, and she goes to bed early. The next couple days, every journal entry is a confession on how he keeps secrets close to him, and he's pretty much a caveman because of how much he loves her, but he's paranoid his enemies are gonna get to her. And this makes all okay, and she forgives him.
Oh my god.
Time passes, and nothing really changes with her learning information from Tobias, and she's trying to be patient, but she's like, you know what? I'm taking matters into my own hands, and I'm gonna fucking force him to tell me something. We're in a flashback. 33-year-old Tobias wakes up from being shot, and he doesn't want to live without Cece or Dominic. He loses consciousness as Tyler begs him to stay with them. The memory of that night fades as the phone from the Frenchman that they have captive or whatever gets a text, and it's from Antoine. So now he knows that the guy that they have captive is working for Antoine.
which he's like, I'm not paranoid, like this is actually happening. He sends Antoine pictures of him and Cece doing their daily routines in hopes that it satisfies Antoine, but it doesn't. Antoine sends the man, and his name is Julian, a flight ticket telling him to be back home, and he knows now that him and Cece will never be safe. He won't let the same thing happen again with Antoine, and he's about to start a war. He gets in the Camaro and takes off. Cece's working at the cafe when the Camaro pulls up and he stalks through the restaurant telling her she's done for the day and to come with him. He puts her over his shoulder, puts her in the car, and then speeds away from town towards their house at breakneck speed. She is on edge, which I don't blame her. When they get to the house, she demands to know what's going on, and that's when she spots his duffel bag. He lets her know it would only be for a few days and it's to protect her, and she is done. She tells him that he promised he wouldn't leave, so if he leaves it right now, he's not allowed to come back.
Oh.
She has a steel spine in this moment because when he tries to kiss her, she doesn't budge. She's like, no, I'm serious. Do not fucking leave this house.
Yeah.
This part was a little rapey. He overpowers her and flips her around to face the wall and then pushes her against it, getting her undressed as she struggles and calls him a coward for not doing this while facing her. He tells her he can't help but want to protect her and needs to do this. And she tells him that if he leaves, he's going to lose everything. She is completely naked now and his eyes look all over her body before he gives in and he starts undressing.
His cock bobs heavily between us as my mouth waters at the sight of it. He grips my ass with his roaming hand, spreading me as his erection brushes between my cheeks and tension coils in my belly. He slides a palm up my back before snaking it around my throat and squeezing, my back arching with the movement as he pushes the tip of his cock into me, drawing the back of my head to his chest until our eyes connect and he's glaring at me from above. The second we lock into place, he drives into me completely and my body goes taut with the invasion as his eyes close.
He fucks her rough until she comes again and again and again, and then he puts her on the floor.
And the next second, the hardwood bruises my knees as he grips my hair in his fist and pushes his engorged cock between my teeth until I'm choking on him. With a few thrusts of his hips, he grunts, filling my mouth, his release hitting the back of my throat. I'm gonna be like, you fuck me like that, and then you're gonna come in my mouth like that? No.
Once they're done, he takes her to the room, and they do it all over again. We have another flashback. 31-year-old Tobias has just told Dom and Sean that he loves Cecilia and knows with everything going on that he can't claim her, but it's the only thing that he's ever asked of them. He's taken care of them their whole lives, and this is the one thing he wants in return. And he also wants to keep her in the loop with the Ravenhood so she's safe with the club. This was the same exact night that he lost his brother and Sean, and he relives it every day. Later on, she finds him sitting before a bottle thinking about all of this and begs him to open up to her. He tells her about the night he was thinking of and she listens. She tells him Dom loved him so much and he shouldn't burden himself with such guilt. She holds him as he falls apart, and then once that's done, they hold each other until they hear tires crunch down the driveway. The ride has arrived and she's like, where are you fucking going? I said you weren't allowed to leave. And he tells her that it's actually club business and she needs to pack her own bags because they're meeting the fucking president
of the United States.
He tells her since he couldn't leave by himself, he had to plot and scheme all of this stuff to get her to come along. When they get to the limo, Tyler's there and she's really happy to see him. He lets her know Preston is nice and so is his wife Molly, and they're really excited to meet Cecilia. Tobias finally tells her what's about to go down and he lets her know that he's gonna legitimize the club. And she's really confused about this because it would mean going against everything the club stands for. But Tyler says that they're not selling out. They're just working their way inside the government and being smarter about covering their asses. So they're merging Ravenhood and the government.
Government X Ravenhood.
They finally arrive and she meets the president. They all have breakfast together and the guys talk while the girls drink mimosas. And when it's over, Tobias agrees that he'll spill all the details at home. Once they're back, Tobias pays a visit to Julian to see what Antoine's plans are. Julian doesn't tell him any new information, so Tobias lets him run back to Antoine with a threat in the air not to fuck with his personal life anymore. Tobias knows he has about 10 hours until the clock starts ticking and Antoine and his men come for him, but he has members of the club and now Secret Service members watching over Cece. He goes to the cafe ready for the argument that will surely start with her, but she's not there. Mr. Handsome is, though.
Greg
leaves shortly after Tobias arrives while whistling a very familiar tune. And Tobias remembers hearing it from the song, like right before he got shot or something like that.
Huh.
Tobias bursts through the cafe door as Greg is slowing down, driving past him, and says, "See you at home." Tobias sprints to his car, giving chase, but Greg is already out of sight. He plays back to the first conversation he had with Greg when he was pining every day over Cece for a week. He dials her phone over and over again with no answer, and he's panicking. When he finally makes it to the house, the whole house is dark and her Audi is there, but all he can do is hope she's okay. He drives across the whole lawn and blocks Greg from the front door as Greg fires shots towards the Camaro. And I put, they do some John Wick movie fucking scene before both decide that they would rather use their fists. So they're both like, literally John Wick. And then they're both like, you know what? Drop their guns. And they're like, okay, let's go.
Let's fight like real men.
Fisticuffs.
Tobias beats the shit out of him, and before Greg can pass out, Tobias feels a cold muzzle of a gun to the back of his head. It's Antoine.
Antoine.
Antoine ushers him inside to see multiple men and Cece looking like she just had gotten ready for bed when they came and did their home invasion. She did manage to shoot one, though, so they're like, you know what? If the gun makes you feel better, keep it. So there's just like a dead man on her floor, and she's like, I'm not giving up my gun.
As she should not.
We learn that Greg is Roman's old business partner, Jerry, his son.
Oh.
And Tobias killed Jerry before Greg could get his inheritance, so he teamed up with Antoine as like a revenge. They have some mob boss standoff, and Cece tells Antoine his men suck because she literally knew Greg was there for her by day two.
Oh.
Uh-huh. She's like, amateur hour. Okay. Hire better men. Tobias tells Antoine to let Cece go or he'll take the satisfaction of ruining Tobias's life and Tobias will just kill himself instead. Antoine doesn't believe him and Tobias tells Cece that every minute with her was worth it as he slowly starts to pull the trigger on himself.
Oh my God.
She tells him to let her take the burden for once and trains her gaze back on Greg just as his eyes widen and a red dot appears throughout the house and Cece fires off a shot. So there's like snipers.
Ah.
Surprise. Tobias tackles her to the ground as she stares at Greg's dead body and then the door bursts open while men are taken down minus Julian and Paulo. She tells him that it was her turn to take care of him and it's all over as the two reveal their fresh Raven Wing ink. So Julian and Paulo were in on it.
Oh, nice.
She tells Tobias that Julian's been a Raven for almost 6 years and Antoine is sitting there fucking pissed because that was his man. She dismisses the men and grabs Tobias and lets him know that she orchestrated the whole thing with Julian showing up here to see what Tobias was so paranoid about since he wouldn't fucking talk to her.
She's a boss bitch.
Yeah.
She said that it worked since Tobias was not going to tell her anything and she needed his threat to come here to take care of it. Paolo, Antoine's actual man for years and years and years, decided that he was going to help because he's in love with Antoine's abused wife and wants to take her from Antoine. Every single thing was a setup and the Triple Falls chapter was involved, including Tyler in the Secret Service. She did all of this so he would fully trust her and to take the threat away from him. He's speechless and angry, but also really fucking proud of her. The club guys are also proud of her and they're happy that Tobias can finally rest. Sean arrives and decides to take care of Antoine and tells Tobias and Cece to take a trip somewhere while they tie up all the loose ends. Before Cece and Tobias can leave, Sean tells Tobias that everything him and Dom ever did was for Tobias. They love him and saw the sacrifices that he made throughout their childhood, and they were never really going to be angry at him for taking Cece.
Oh.
They hug and say always brothers, apologizing to each other for their lost years apart. Cece approaches with the dog and they get in the car so Tobias can go inside with Sean for one last thing. He antagonizes Antoine, showing him all the ways he lost this final round, and then he puts a bullet in his head. They go to Atlanta to see Christy and Cece's mom and make amends. Both of them need to make amends with the people she loves to move forward since she's alienated herself from her family for so long. They say their goodbyes and ride into the sunset, starting their new life with their dog. We have the epilogue. It's 7 years later. The club is fought and bled to try and make their time in the government count. They're looking at their brand new house in France when he gets on one knee and they marry 1 month later. The end.
Cute. 7 years after all of this. He made her wait 7 years.
Yeah. They were busy infiltrating the government.
I guess. Just get married real quick. It takes 10 minutes. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
This one was, like, kind of extra annoying. You can give it three.
And do you think Tobias is sexy?
Like a tiny bit.
Cried a lot.
But he also just sounds kind of like a doucher.
Yeah. Would you trade places with CeCe?
No. No. This all sounds like way too much.
Next week, we're telling Riley all about Barbarian Lover by Ruby Dixon, which is book 3 in the Ice Planet Barbarian series. I think we did book 2 like a year ago.
Yeah, I don't fucking...
So we're going to have Riley look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
So I know they're on this planet, you know. I really don't remember what happens in the last one at all. But I know they're on this planet, and I know it's going to be about like a different couple, like a different girl, different alien. But I think there'll be some drama among the aliens, like versus the people, maybe like a power struggle. Cause I think from what I'm remembering, there was quite a bit of a power struggle last book, right?
Kinda.
I don't know. I just know it's going to be about another girl and another alien. And I'm excited.
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at Smut Up and Listen Podcast and on TikTok at Smut Up and Listen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.